drawing me to your workshop.
Right. You see, he must be eating soda 99% of the time.
No, or lunar. No, must be lunar. No.
What eats for breakfast?
He eats cream of wheat, basically. He shouldn't have eggs, but he likes eggs occasionally. And finally, he's gone off the bacon bit, you know, from the heart attack. Otherwise, he'd had bacon or sausage. And he says, you know, people don't give me advice. When you get to be my age, he's going to be 84 in a few days. When you get to be my age, you can tell me
what to do. No, there's something. You can eat anything as long as you know when. That is the reason why most people make mistakes. It isn't, nutrition is not bad food. We all suffer from bad food in this country. A day like this is the cause of the style of eating we have back in frontier days. Today, you know, all the families in frontier countries take down their normal stuff that they made up and go to church. There's fellow to fish, and all the different companies will bring out different types of cooking that they've done all through the week and spread it out like a hot lot. The men would usually reach out for the rib or a piece of the beef and go off and eat it, but very little, anything amongst it, maybe a little corn bread or something. But the women would eat a salad. But it would turn the kids loose to get them out of their hair, and it's the kids. But actually at the different combinations that became cafeteria style cooking. Later on, that's what developed, what we call a hot lunch. And so what happened, we ended up having a type of illness brought on not by the bad food, but the wrong combination at the time.
Children were eating.
They went to eat, try Aunt Mary's apple pie and Uncle Joe's ice cream and Aunt Willie's, Uncle Willie's pickle.
Yeah, all the combinations together.
All
the
time. And that's how they got sick. And that's how the disease started forming. The type of diseases that the medical profession are encountering never was recorded much because they weren't there.
But Daddy, you never eat well. You never eat well.
I used to.
You used to be the best.
That's when I learned how to eat well.
When you eat?
Well, not what? Well.
When? Sometimes that's sick.
That's all right. Wrong for full moon time, you can do it 7 days.
7 days?
Yeah, you can eat wrong time.
But you try to extend it to someone, they certainly don't bother.
So you see, in the morning, you're supposed to eat fruits and nuts from the tree. And in the middle of the day, you can eat your beef or your chicken and your vegetables from the ground. And at night, you can eat the seafood, egg, and vegetables from the ground.
Sounds simple.
And around the full moon time, you can change it around. If you want a bacon egg in the morning, fine. If you want some ice cream at night, fine. If you want an apple pie in the middle of the day, fine. That's running for moon time.
For 7 days.
7 days.
I had solar food last night, carrots.
3 days before full moon, full moon, and 3 days after.
And the full moon was last night, right?
Full moon time,
now we have three more days. It's 11:20. Could I stop there?
Egg in the morning.
And as far as eggs, right? We may want you to do that during solar.
But you see, the thing is, as a woman being pregnant, you know, during the pregnancy, at a certain time of the night, 4 o'clock or 3 in the morning, you want to get up to eat the ice cream and pickle or some kind of hot combination. But you don't do it all the time because the pediatrician will tell you to get a bed but periodically, the craving is there. And you'll always, if you check back, it's always fall in the full moon time because that's how the organism is set up. So really, we are realizing more and more it's not what we eat, it's what we eat.
Well, Donald, about the smoking, you know, would it be better? It would be the same to start now? Or to wait till the 3 days after full moon?
Well, you start at the time of long, you know, when?
My kids.
You don't need to sick.
I don't need that. My niece is. Do I just go ahead
take
and start
it,
like
take
I
it go around? I'll wait till
not talking about I don't know what to do now, though.
It would be best if she started after Luna and do it within the time cycle you told her. That way she wouldn't have any question in her mind when she's doing it.
Right. Or should I just go ahead like I am?
If you don't print it, don't print it. If you do print it, take it in the middle of the day.
But earlier you said you talk as mean as you were used to.
Well, the thing is this. If in the therapy, if you're smoking 12 cigarettes a day, you start smoking all 12 from midday to 6:30. But you don't smoke in the morning, you don't smoke at night. And then within a short space of time, your own saliva develops the allergens. But when you put a cigarette, it doesn't have the craving to
move. Since I smoke various amounts, it wouldn't really matter how many I smoke.
No. Now, if you're not craving to smoke the cigarette, don't put it in. But if the craving comes, smoke it. Smoke it between midday to 6:30.
Oh, okay. Go strictly by the way you feel.
Right. But put it between the midday to that period. Don't take it in the morning, don't take it at night. And this is how the allergen, the natural allergy to the cigarette will start forming. And then you find the mouth doesn't want it. The life doesn't want
and
it.
And I won't go back.
You won't go back. But it
I believe
up,
you
it's like immunity. You build up your immunity. You build up your own allergies.
You see, it's almost like I'm afraid. I'm afraid of one. I'm afraid of... I trust you.
One of
the, I bet it was from
one of the young girls from the group shared that experience because she had to be just in the family. And so I said, it's like my Lord, young friend, told me all kinds of resistance. Because they're always, I said, if we just would let life flow, we would resist, and then we'll adjust. Then we make a mutation to change your face, and we get comfortable, and we get in a mold, and then of course, resistance to the mutant. And so she came and said, tell me again, and then the Southern girl momentum. So they're probably using and one of their talks or whatnot. Wow, they were really impressed by it. Yes, yes. Ram. And I said it about my friend Ram for I think you know what you're talking about.
Sita Ram.
Sita Ram.
Ram.
Sita Ram.
Sita is S stands for structure.
Structure.
I stands for individuality. D stands for thinking. And A stands for activity.
Structure.
Action. So that is resistance, adjustment, mutation, or change of mold. So your structure and your individual thinking actions to start to move resistance, adjustment, change.
Going on.
That's called a new joy or a new consciousness or new model. You remember when Volkswagen made it one car all the time?
Beetle
got bored of it.
And then they made the wreck.
Right, that's what they change.
And
the
bus.
Right. The change is what makes it. And that's what they call the Shiva.
Oh, not on that, but
cheap. Well, to renovate. And therefore, you can't really renovate until you tear down.
That's right.
But so it's not to destroy. Actually, the word renovation is much more.
It's better than right.
To destroy. You can destroy means nihilism. Or you're negating the nature. You can't, there's no such thing. You don't negate nature. Nature constructs, maintains, and renovates by its the natural time lapse as it phases down into what is called impractical, non-functional. Then out of the impractical, non-functional becomes the new shape, the new transition, the new model. So that's what they call built-in progression by built-in boredom. progress unless there's a sense of boredom that will confront you from your own creative nature. So if necessity is the mother of invention, then boredom is the daughter of necessity.
That's for sure. The daughter of necessity. You wear white on Sunday?
Yeah.
I thought you wore blue. What do you wear?
Red is on Monday.
Okay.
And up to
hope she's getting that.
You want a card?
No. Well, okay.
Where did you get your track from your
pen? Now give me your pen.
Red.
Monday.
From right up to 6:30, you can wear red. Then you can switch into light orange from 6:30 on to the next month.
Huh.
Next day
is
orange.
It's Tuesday.
And then you can switch into the afternoon from orange to yellow. So Wednesday is yellow. Then the same is for Thursday is green. Friday is blue. Saturday is violet. And towards the evening of Sunday, you can switch it to black and white.
Black and white.
And then Sunday is white. And then towards the evening of Sunday, you can go pink and go red. So you have your spectrum. Huh. So we stay to the basic seven. But they're actually, if you take the seven and divide it into halves, each to have more shift, you'll have the interpretation for your seven.
All right. Let's see, I don't know what day I'm dressed for, Adam. You say she...
No, it's in the...
Okay, I found it out on the lawn where you were raking leaves.
I don't know where I lost it.
Well, I just happened to see it, so I don't know how it came up. But I figured that was the same one that you lost.
Went and bought another one.
Yeah. But I thought you did get everything out of that sack. So, where are you from, France?
Here.
Oh, okay.
I live here.
Alyssa is from Carpinteria, and then she said, I think some other people coming from Waco.
From Waco?
Longview. I believe she said.
This was the baby side of the world. This is the baby side of the world. Yeah. You two may have been crying.
Is it Liz or older daughter?
No, she's an older daughter.
Oh, okay.
Okay, this is Jan. It's her three children.
Okay. Yeah, good. All right.
And there's Jan. Mm-hmm. She has two children, which is Texas down there.
Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't.
My son worked for the husband for years.
Now, this is this
the father?
The father, okay.
He's not here.
Oh, okay. Just don't want me to stay away from all that food since they kept me up late.
Charlie, babe, what is she holding?
Gosh. The garden? No, it looks like he's got his tie.
Oh, yes, indeed. That's it.
Oh,
the farm service.
Mm-hmm.
So the husband you had done it to? Great.
I went to the whole restaurant and, I mean, store and
office. And what church?
It was in the afternoon.
I was talking to the manager.
She carried red ones. It's been about a year. And y'all from there?
Dallas. I am. Dad's from McAllen.
And this is your dad?
Down in the, almost to the border of Mexico.
Y'all been down a long time?
Oh, yeah. I met him in 65, and I don't know when Mom met him. Maybe 64. That's 20 years. Yeah.
20 years.
And she told me over the, she introduced me to him over the phone, and it was October of 64. Oh, you've got to come meet his friend. I looked upon him like a son.
Jeez, that she has always had such a beautiful smile.
That's good, brother.
And he'll make you understand it.
Yeah.
Oh, now I know what the perception was. Got about a cake in there.
That's kind of hard to do.
That is beautiful.
Jan Moore, I know a Jan Moore in Dallas.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I thought that was the question.
What is this?
I think she's taking the veil off.
Oh.
Oh, no, you're just not seeing
okay,
the veil.
Corn and some,
what's that is?
I don't know if this started. It's all over. All three birthdays are in March. She will be 14 and the twins will be 10.
She'll be how old again? 14 and 10.
30.
Oh gosh, I won. That takes me back. I didn't realize you were that, because I thought, gee, that's something. When my daughter remarried about 3 years ago, her husband had been married twice before. So he has three daughters, 21 to about 25. But then they were younger, and one of them was still at home. And then he had a 13-year-old daughter from his second wife. So she goes in, you know, all these kids, and I have to admire her. It wasn't easy, but boy, she went in there, and he's real easy going. Like, she went in there and straightened everything out, shipped them off, that's great. I thought that would make it hard for marriage. Oh, okay, so they just come to visit. That's great. Hi. Fine. Thank you. You just got here?
Let's
see, it's past banana time, isn't it? No, it's a
full moon. The full moon.
No, I'm glad I was the best.
Oh, no, she is. I was just teasing. Every now and then, it sure is hard. It's terrible, maybe.
We're from him. Right here.
Oh, okay.
How's the weather in Carpinteria?
Sunny, I guess.
I've been there for a couple weeks.
Oh, okay.
It's about like this, but 10 or 15 degrees warmer.
Morning,
I know that it's sunshiny and whatnot, but just 10 or 15 degrees warmer is all.
Well, it's pretty cool right now. When we left, it was cool and having a lot of rain.
If you're in Carpinteria, do you go hear Krishnamurti when he speaks?
I went once over there.
I'm going this year. He's going to be 90 years old.
Yeah, I went about
3 years
ago.
So I'll have to find out. I'll have to stop by and see him. Is he in Carpinteria?
Yeah, he's at the Scandia House.
What's the name of it?
Scandia.
Scandia.
The only one in Carpinteria.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to say it's not that big.
It's getting bigger.
Oh. I think the little town of Ojai is beautiful.
It's so pretty over there.
That's
under
where
the oak trees.
A friend took us in 1953, took us to the beach at Carpinteria. My mother didn't go, and we stayed longer than we should have, and Dad got a real bad suntan. Remember the beach at Carpinteria?
Do
you remember the beach at Carpinteria in California? So we drove by, and he's got towels all around him. He's so blonde that just strips, you know, big blisters all over his body.
That's what we expected.
That's what I know.
That's what I said.
He needs our type of complexion. But he doesn't have our genes. Now, Bonnie, having known Mom and Dad, she didn't think I looked like that. I said, well.
You see, now listen. See, her face is a splitting image of my eldest sister. That's why I couldn't believe it. It's like I say, here, I'm born down there. Know my elder sister, then come all the way up
and find another sister.
Same color texture, nothing hiding. Sure.
Whenever I'm in Houston, he always introduces me as his sister, and I say, yeah, we had the same mother because Mom looked upon Adano like a son, and I said, but we had different fathers. There were different fathers, different Adano. Because Dad's always going to visit Margaret wherever she is, and I go down to visit Adana. So I said we had different fathers. Oh man.
Okay.
They don't have any silverware and stuff there, huh, Betty? You're not taking a chance, huh? I would go. This place is close to Rogers' house, you know. But it's only 900 square feet. It's getting real big for you.
Bring you up to study for
you. But no, this is your point. You should start something like that. That's why I wanted her to come.
The nitrogen acts as a sedation to sedate them so that they don't wake up. Now, all cells must have protein to live on, otherwise they all die off. Now, there are only two types of protein, but there are various geometries of it, but the types, how they behave. One type has nitrogen, and one type has no nitrogen. Now, a healthy person will stay healthy as long as they have protein plus nitrogen. As soon as the nitrogen level drops below what is called a safe factor level for the germ cell to function, then the soma cells become temporarily phased off. Then when it drops below that level, then the trophoblast cell wakes up. Now when it wakes up, it's because the nitrogen level is below what would keep them sleeping in their environment. It's like a man in space taken from here to the moon, but there's, let's say, or from here to Jupiter, but the equipment has gone far off course and they're running short of energy, so the hibernating passengers are going to slowly wake up before their time. But because whatever is going to keep them in that suspension is going off, phasing down, the power is phasing down. Same with your cells. The nitrogen is phasing down, and then the cells are going to become active now. These are the trophoblast cells, the ones that are sleeping. They wake up. Waste products of the human body is protein. All waste products of the human body is protein. But minus nitrogen, not plus nitrogen. The nitrogen is already. So that tells you right away, if you've got too much protein waste, you've got a very low nitrogen content. And therefore the trophoblast cell will wake up, look around, and will have to feed. So wherever it wakes up, so they wake up in the finger, the head, wherever the area is lowest first, that's the area it wakes up. That's why cancer occurs all over. Cancer is simply a cell devoid of the protein content with nitrogen. So it wakes up and it starts feeding on the waste around it. A large, swollen area. That's the area that is impacted now from the trophoblast cells waking up and feeding off the protein minus the nitrogen.
They wouldn't notice if they didn't feel well before that happened?
No, they wouldn't have. It takes a while. That's what builds up so long. Then, if the doctor examines it, he's only going to have two statements. Non-malignant or malignant. Non-malignant means that the trophoblast cell hasn't reached the level where the protein content minus nitrogen is a danger to the organism. It's still in the non-malignant state. There is enough nitrogen there still holding him back from becoming malignant. But he's consumed all the protein waste so far and he's spreading. If he's malignant, that means the nitrogen level has dropped down below the level of immunity for the germ cell to work, and the trophoblast cell then uses up all the protein waste, and then the next protein product is going to eat is the soma cell. He tried it now on soma. He gets drunk. Those are the ones that are, let's just say, doing their work, but they're ready to retire. They are the semi-retired and the retired people in society. So in the cellular mechanism, these are the cells that are ready to phase off. They are the soma cells. So the trophoblast feeds on them. Now that they call malignant now. They're feeding off of other cells. Now how far these cells and how weak they are, that's how far the trophoblast cell will expand. Now, if the soma cell is too weak and the trophoblast cells expand very far through the system, its malignancy has spread. Only radiation, which is high heat, now has to go in there to burn them down. Like a burner beyond the brush. But sometimes the radiation is too high, it starts killing off all the germ cells. They don't have enough protein, they can't cook. So it spreads. The human being never dies from cancer. Now when he dies from insufficiency of protein with nitrogen. He dies from a clog up colon. He dies from a mucus clogging lung and overloaded kidney from the acid that can't go out, but he didn't die from the cancer. The certificate let me show you that you had malignant cancer up to the last minute of your breath. Your organs failed to perform. Because they can't keep up, they're not getting the stuff to fight back. So there's really no death certificate that you actually died from cancer, because the cancer is just a malignancy going on. But the other organs are so weak they can't come back. Now the macrobiotic people came along with the macrobiotic foods and phased off all the foods that are low with minus protein, with minus nitrogen, they got all those out of the diet and start increasing foods that are high protein plus nitrogen. So they made us eat more grains, more vegetables, and they phase off all the meat and different other products to bring the body back up. So the human being is a carbohydrate organism. So when that starts going back up, then the body starts to cope again. But because we are programmed to eat a lot of heavy meats and different stuff, we don't stick it out.
Why do you think that happens in the past? Why did they go to the meat? Because they didn't have the brain?
No. It's a day like this that created the type of eating we eat. What we, back in the olden frontier, in the frontier days in this country, all the people came from different ranches and brought food that they prepared at the church. And when the ceremony was over, they spread a big blanket or a sheet out and put all the different food that they brought. The men usually ate a piece of the rib or a piece of the steak and went off and discussed how to make a horseless carriage. Because they were fed up with the horse and all the problems he had to give. And then the women went, ate the little salads and went off to discuss how to dye the cloth and weave it. But to get the kids free out of their hair, they turn them loose to go play in the... And that's what they put a potluck eating. They went over and put this on, this one, you know. So somebody sat down and figuring out, this would make a good business, open up a cafeteria and turn the kids loose. And that's what potluck eating became. We start eating different combinations at an early age that create the problem. For 100 years, we got by. It takes about that long to wake up. It doesn't take that long to, you know. Now, the biggest research is on nutrition, because that's the last frontier left, to try everything and nothing left is but to go back and find out what you're eating wrong. So a lot of doctors now are discussing and discovering nutrition as the first real breakthrough to why the body broke down. But it broke down simply because we were eating too much foods high in protein minus nitrogen. And meat doesn't have nitrogen when you cook it.
When it's raw,
meat doesn't have
nitrogen, period.
No
time to
meat.
Where do you get the most nitrogen?
Plant, food, sprouts, nuts. You see, if your body was designed to eat meat, your stomach that contains the hydrochloric acid that breaks down food, the first thing it will break down would be what? Your stomach, right. Because it's made of tissue, and meat is made out of tissue. But it isn't designed to do that. The meat is a secondary meal, a secondary type of food, not a primary food for the body. It's a secondary food for the body. But because of survival and the change of seasons and evolution, we were forced to eat meat to survive.
That's what I was asking you. Why did they turn to me? Because there wasn't any grain to get.
Right. If you trace back the origin of man, he didn't originate in the North Pole, you know. He originated in a semi-temperate zone where vegetables and fruits were more easy to grow until the shifting climate came along, the Earth's movement, then all the animals were moving, and then he was forced to eat animal after. Well, let's go and get a workshop.
Time, place, season, everything. Not for something, for everything. Everything and anything are both same. Nothing is left out in anything, and everything is inclusive. Anything. But first in the order is time. That takes first priority in your health. That's the momentum in motion. Place, that's the longitude and latitude. And you find out that pretty soon when you come to your pocket book health. Some people have health in the most that time. But when they're going around the place, then they got a sickness in the pocket book. And then you have season, but there's no such thing as season temperature. But what you call a season is changes of temperature. Certain ranges of temperature represent spring, a certain range represents summer, another range represents autumn, and another range represents winter. So there really is no actual thing called season. So there are ranges of temperature causing different conditions to occur in the environment. By the same token, you cause different conditions to react in your body. It can either make you cold, too hot, damp, or too humid, or burnt up, dry up. And these will cause the problems in the body. Some people can live in a warm climate, others can't. The way the body is toxic or clogged up, they have problems. So the food is very important for the temperature. Live to eat. To get sick. This sounds crazy, but I will do it again. At the baby's age, he can't learn comparison, and he can't learn logic. Therefore, the parents are there to see that he eats a certain way to prevent him from getting sick. But as soon as he gets a little older, and the mother leaves him to himself and goes away to the kitchen, all he's going to do is like what he's doing now, watch. Look at him. He put his hand in his mouth, put something, pick it up, and put it in his mouth. Because he doesn't know anything how to direct. He only knows that it must go in the mouth first. And so he experiments with the mouth. So when he gets sick, then they can be complaining. Then the parents say, don't do this. But he has to experience it, living to eat to get sick. He don't like the experience, but this is how we learn, this is the evolution. Then we discover that this is the next step. Live to eat. Not to get sick. So that's comparison. That's when the brain starts to take over and regulate its own health. Left to us as human beings, this can be pretty boring. Just living to eat, not to get sick. There must be a higher value in nutrition or the purpose of being in the human body than just eating not to get sick. Also, there must be a higher value than trying to perform miracles, because dead men can't perform miracles. Sick people can't perform. And there must be something greater than trying to own everything in the world. Dead men don't own anything. And when you're sick, you may be paying yourself to get back your health. You're giving away or selling all the possessions to get your health back. So there must be a higher law why we do exist. And the higher law is the fifth law, live, to eat in order to live, not to eat. But this is a slow evolution. We find this in sickness. When a person is sick, they don't want to eat. That's the very first thing they try to do, that push away food when they get sick. And they may even use that as a means to cure themselves by abstaining from food, not eating. They call it fasting. And the older you get in life, the less you want to eat. So nature has a way through sickness or through gradual breakdown of the body to force us to recognize an unusual law, living not to eat. But if you go back in all the writings of the world of all the wise men, they all tell the same thing. When Jesus went to the desert to fast, that was one of the tests he had, his food. Why don't you change the stone into bread? Why are you fasting? Why are you depriving yourself of food? And his answer was, man, academic, male or female, does not live by bread alone. It doesn't live by eating alone, but by every word. Word is sonics. The word, you can call it man, mao, mao, cow. Those are sonics. This is what they call words. Words. Sonics. But by every word, by every sonic vibration that's received out of the mind of God. Now, in the human body, the doctors have already identified bacteria that they call the mouth of God. That's the back of their head where the spine connects. It's called the hypothalamus. Or the middle of Gata. Right in the back here. Well, that's actually where the sperm and the ovum bonded to form the human being. That point, every doctor knows. Without doubt, that if you were to stick it to the pin, it would get instantly. And if you were to stick it to the feather, it would be paralyzed from that pin. So they don't monkey around with that part of the human anatomy. Because any kind of vibration in that area will either paralyze it or stop the bird. That's where the sperm and the ovum bonded in conception. It's called the electrical contact. Yes. That's exactly what it is. Plucking. So he's saying we don't live by eating through the mouth, but we live by this particular contact, sonic resonance. So all your religious leaders and great men, and what you call cosmic walkings and people from outer star, man, with all the new ideas we're describing, people from outer space or from other realms in the universe, they're all showing us one common truth, that we are locked into the way they live, stuck away, stay alive.
But that's the same as the medulla oblongata.
Same thing as the medulla oblongata. This is the inner core of the medulla.
short, long, fathom. It will look like this whole thing is called Medulla Oblongata, but the resonance is in the area inside, like a core of the fruit. You call that the actual core. But the whole thing is called Medulla Oblongata. It's really a squirm bonded ability. But it has to have something. You see, like how it wraps around? Consider this portion as the head of the sperm. And this is the tail of the sperm. And the outer core as the woven locked on. So inside, that is resonating. That's what they call the hypothalamus. The point of resonance is like a tongue inside of your mouth. You don't move your tongue, you don't have no resonance. Evidence of having accomplished living to eat in order to live not to eat has to be in the body. Some result, some change, some transformation has to occur. And we have to have it occurring in the environment before we can care in our own bodies, because the environment came before us. We are a print off of the environment. All our 44 elements are in the environment, but in different quantities. We are composite of all of our 44 in one complete body, carrying all of our 44. So we are walking miniature environment. But in the environment, we must have something that is similar to us, that gives us a clue to something that is permanent in us. Otherwise, we'll be fooling ourselves. And the only clue we find is a creature and is made of tissues. What looks like us is a caterpillar. All it does from the time it's born to the time it dies is eat. And before it dies, it spins a cocoon or a web, like a shroud, over itself. That's what they call compulsory shutdown. It knows exactly when to go and escape. In a matter of 24 hours, it knows exactly to spin this cocoon. And at the end of 72 hours, it emerges another type of creature. A creature that flies now. You don't cross the ground. That is called butterfly. After the caterpillar, after 72 hours it shuts down, and then emerges as a butterfly. Now this may seem kind of common everyday experience for people who see it. What is the real lesson we're going to learn from it that tells us that a human being is involved in it? One, it's a creature that walks on its tummy and eats. Two, it knows when to shut down, change over into another creature that can fly. They're all made of tissues, like your own skin. But the difference between the two stages, the caterpillar stage and the butterfly stage, there is an unusual quality. In the caterpillar stage, if you were to step on the caterpillar, it will rot, decompose. If you were to step on the butterfly after it emerges onto the caterpillar, it will not decompose, it will not rot. Have you ever seen a rotten butterfly? But you've seen a rotten caterpillar, and I've stepped on a lot of them to prove that caterpillars run, but what the time is, no one runs. So
That is the evidence scientifically now between the two stages, the non-rotting state. And that is what the religious writings are all about, put in an agricultural language, came on through the centuries for us to understand who we are and what we are. We are essentially creative energy, but we are emerging or evolving to a tissue form by eating and then by not eating. So nutrition plays an important part in getting us ready for the non-decomposing level. So all the saints of all the various religions, one of the outstanding things that even after they perform all the miracles and they lie down and die, they turn around and find that their body goes rot. And that is what is the challenge for the person who remains to observe that this transformation has occurred exactly like a caterpillar and a butterfly, the non-decomposing body. And Yogananda was one such person, then the body was exposed and then he died. He didn't show any sign of decomposition. And there are evidence also that some of them took their bodies and fly away with it. So we know we have evidence all through the centuries that man did leave non-decomposing bodies, and also he did leave empty coffins for us to wander very well. So basically, we have this particular phenomenon locked up in us. Now, nutrition is taking us to that direction. That's our evolution. Live to eat in order to live, not to eat.
I assume you don't get B.O. when you get that stage too. I said, I assume you won't get B.O. when you get to that stage too.
aging is not a function of the body, it's a function of the mind. Every doctor will tell you from the facts that you can be old psychologically at 24, and you can be young biologically at 94. Because biological health makes us responsible and active. Since we can correct it by canceling it out psychologically, the body will take compensation. The reason for that is in your own enzymes. Every time you speak, you're releasing chemistry in your saliva, because the chemistry is regulated by the sonics. Now you're hearing from my mouth sonics, and you're taking the sonics and computing it in your brain to have a meaning. As long as we have some common agreement in the sonics, what you're hearing from my mouth will have meaning to you. But if I was to say, cha o um no ula upa, you don't understand what I'm saying. It don't mean anything to you. You understand? But if I say, what I just said is, don't talk too loud, you understand what that means, don't talk too loud. Now if a Frenchman came in the room, you wouldn't understand, don't talk too loud, but if you speak broken French, ne parle très fort, he understands that, don't speak loud, in his language. So, each individual, by the way he's programmed to talk, poisons his own body by the references of the information to which he's programmed through his own saliva. That's why Jesus said, it's not what you put in the mouth that's going to defile the body or break it down. It's what comes up in the mouth that defiles the body. The actual sonics that toxify the enzymes of the mouth. And before it can even leave you to come to the cross the room to my ears, it'll poison your saliva. It is something erroneous or detrimental. And it will automatically go down into your stomach. And therefore you, the person who is saying it, was written up before the person was hearing it.
Were your thoughts also poison your saliva?
Yes. That's why you have the option of phasing it off by canceling it out instead of having to live through it and suffer from it. So, like this object, I am going to write on the blackboard. But I have another object here that will change the situation. It's called an eraser, and I want to remove that put F-I instead of I-F. This is the option you have. So when you use the word cancel, if you don't carry through, you automatically phase off your own enzymes. Therefore, you are your own liberator and your own prisoner by your own voice, your own language. You make yourself sick or you make yourself well by recognizing right away what you say to yourself.
If you recognize right away what you say to yourself, and you cancel it, but you really honestly don't mean it. I mean, you really, what you said, you really meant, but you knew that it would make you sick for you to say it. So you say cancel, but you really meant it when you said it.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. Then the remedy for that is fill it up in a big wad of saliva
and
do like
it
a spit, you know.
Give me a trash can.
That would automatically fade it off, or you do like in saliva, you stick it off. And that's what they call tantra yoga, or tantric, or tantrum yoga.
Tantrum yoga.
That's right. That's what tantrum is.
That's
what it is.
If you take tantrum or tantrums, you get rid of the antics or the tantrums that cannot be cancelled out by the right brain and the left brain due to the fact that you've not said it and you really don't want to say it.
But you really mean it.
You're
just calling a spade a spade.
Okay, then out of that came the acting as a means to phase it off. So the mind and the stage, all the different things, and these are the ways the ancient yogis or unified conscious people cleared away the sickness from the body instead of making it and resident in the body got sick. So they ended up getting rid of most of their psychological problems that they didn't want to literally let go of by singing and dancing. They say, sing and dance the praises of the Lord, you never get sick. Well, that's true if you really get down to it. Today, in our way of health realization, we're seeing that the antics that we go through, the different motions we are making is actually correcting many of the things that were fixed in our minds as children growing up, and we couldn't correct or change. Now we can change it. So by that we know that whatever we say and we feel that we would like to change and don't have the capacity to change it immediately, the best thing is to play active. Now, Jesus came along, and all he contributed to that play acting was seminars, group movements. So he said, confess your sins before your fellow man. In the olden days, you went on a one-to-one basis to somebody, he said, I got a problem. And they said, okay, my son, I will not do this, do that. He said, all right. But Jesus realized that that's a very slow process. And all he did said, okay, talk it out to the group of people. If you find a commonality, and before you do it, everybody is going to let go of their stress.
Group therapy,
right. And that's what you call confessing your sins before your fellow man. It was the old agricultural way of talking to release the anguish, but by the same token, the agricultural way of talking had too much guilt. It made us feel too guilty. It made us feel too weak. It didn't offer enough compensation for the mistakes. It was the modern machinery that came along that broke that condition of depression and guilt. by handing you the key to the car and getting you behind the wheel to obey the rules of the road, it made you responsible for your life. If ever you want to wake up very fast and take over your health, it gets you behind the wheel and let you go down the road. You're going to have to respect the other guy, or he'll run his car into you, or you'll run your car into him. You can't afford to do what? Be that hostile. You can't afford to be that aggressive. So you begin to readjust your thinking. And this is a form of self-corrective therapy. The evolution in the agricultural horse and buggy environment, or mechanical routine environment, is a compensation for the correction of being too hasty of what you say or want to say to others. It tends to put it back in balance. And you find out you are more tolerant, you're more compassionate, and not so quickly strung out. Because all is going to happen when you get too strung out, the heart is only going to pump too fast or too slow. And the disease of too fast is high blood pressure. And the disease of too slow is low blood pressure. But normal pressure, healthy person. So what is the doctor measuring? He's measuring timing of the pressure. But he doesn't use those terms, but every mechanic knows that in the end. So the more aware you are mechanically, the more aware you are biologically in the body. It's just a matter of recognizing that your health is timing. And the breathing regulates that. It's the same in the car. If the gas is not going to the carburetor properly at the time you're going to have, it's going to choke up. It's going to cut out. Right? So this is exactly what you have. If you're breathing too fast, your heart is going to pump too fast. If you're breathing too slow, your heart is going to pump too slow. If you're breathing normal, then you have a normal rhythm. And the human body has to function at a normal rhythm. The more you realize that, the more you stay stable, and therefore you're not a victim of your fears, and you're not at the mercy of your mechanics of your body, neither are you stretched out that you can't do something about it before anybody comes along to help you. You understand what is possible for you. You can actually help yourself. This is the 45 degree angle of light, the trees. First, location of food, and that's the environment. The cave before us, trees. Then the next angle of light, directly overhead, is the 90 degree angle. We have the four-legged and two-legged and all the divine type foods that grow. And then you have the bumps range where the earth gets hot
but the light doesn't go into the ground. And it's called the bone spray. And all the food that grow under the ground or live in the darkness, like the green light and your root vegetables. And that is the structure of your environment. And that's why we are a product of this soul principle. Now, we born after we were created. So the man was created for a spirit. And he was placed in the planetary system like this. Glass. Now, the environment is first in terms of quantity. Man is last in creation in terms of quality. There's not a quantity of man, but there's a quantity of environment. So they say the first is last and the last is first. So where is this possible that the first is going to be last and the last is first? Only in terms of quality can we be greater than the environment, which came first in terms of quantity. They got more trees growing apples and oranges, squash, and cherries than you have human beings when the world is created. But it seems that we're getting more and more people and less fruits and cherries. In terms of quality, we generate control over the environment by the way we think. In terms of quantity, the plant life follows its own routine and repeats itself over and over. Now, the human body is set up according to the zone of light. So the 45 degree angle is called zone number 1. 90 degrees is called zone number 2. And the box rate is called zone number 3. And in the human body, these same zones are set up in terms of the bone structure. That's the major bone of the upper portion is called a skull, connected to the spine, and then leg. Well, you know why the Beatles were such a success. This is zone 1. From this area to this area. And this is zone 2, from here to here. And this is zone 3, from this area to this area. In terms of food, and the way the light affects the food, and the way it grows and absorbs the minerals out of the soil, all 144 elements are set up in the body. But we didn't know that before. Now we're finding it out. That they are all over the body. And the trace minerals are the basics. So, for this reason, the human being is set up to eat 3 meals per day maximum, or 6 small meals per day in the minimum, less quantity but more often. If you eat three large meals, very maxi size, you have breakfast, lunch, supper. If you want to eat less, smaller quantities, you have 6 minute variation. From the researches of health and best efficiency of the body, it's wise to eat 6 small meals than 3 large meals. But if you can't eat 6 small meals, you do have to eat 3 large meals to eat them. 1 meal you should never skip, no matter which one of the smaller or large, and that's breakfast. Simply because when the child is born, it has to be fed. When it's going to school, it has to be fed. The parents keep feeding it until it grows up and doesn't want to go to school or quit school. Then it says, Mama, don't tell me what to eat at breakfast. So that's the first thing, you make your transition in rebellion. You don't eat breakfast because you're so pressurized and programmed to eat breakfast. But that's the first actual biological breakdown, because you're going to react against what is called the biological clock, or the body is set up. So doctors all say that you must eat 3 meals, and each meal must comprise of the 5 basic elements. One, and in this order, protein. Two, carbohydrates. Three, mineral, vitamin. Four, liquid or oil. And 5, liquid or water. These are the 5 basic requirements for your meal if you want to stay healthy. Breakfast, lunch, and supper. From all 3 line zones, from all 3 parts of your anatomy, from the rib cage to the hip bone, down to the foot. And what is so unique, that nature set up already for all 3 parts of the anatomy to match all 5 of these elements. Years ago when I came into it, I thought I was a fan after studying all the others, and to prove that some nutrition was not fat, I took each light zone and applied the formula and to see which of input had the best results for absorption in a short space of time. And I discovered that if you eat from this light zone, this basic formula in the morning, you have the fastest absorption. If you eat this light zone in the middle of the day from this formula, you have the fastest absorption. And if you did this at night using this formula, you have the fastest absorption compared to 1 day. That comes around the full moon, I noticed there was a shift, something happened. At the time, I never realized why it was. Today, it's factual why we can change around the full moon. Simply because the human body is not a composite of 2 sperm or 2 ovaries. It's a composite of a sperm and an ovum. And therefore, the ovums are formed every 28 days, and if they're not used, they're phased out. So there's no such thing as anybody can have a baby with a used ovum. Every ovum is very good ones. So don't you know what virgin birth is? Why Jesus was a virgin birth? The facts about it is that every human being is a virgin birth. But we get carried away with churchianistic concepts and get lost in it. And only when science comes along to validate what is going on, then we release ourselves from the sickness and the frustration and the aggravation and the disappointment. And then we begin to take responsibility for being alive and not be afraid to be alive. Around the full moon, you can rotate in any one of these zones for 7 days. And it's very valid. Now let's take breakfast and see protein for breakfast. The first meal that we have trained to do. So eat is called breakfast. Break fast, right? That's really what it's called. People break your fast, sleeping all night. When you wake up in the morning, you break the fast. Now it says the stomach needs protein. Now if you look at your chart in the biological clock, you're going to see this is the biological clock. And how you read a clock? You read a clock from 3 a.m. in the morning from 3 a.m. to 5 a.m. the clock shows the lungs are operating. They take, your lungs take priority in the biological clock. So this is how, like an ignition switch in your body. There's only one place you can put the key to turn the engine on, but you sure can put it in your door and open your door, but you can't turn the engine on, right? Exactly, that's the same thing you have to learn. In the biological clock, all organs have the importance. But when it comes to set the body to be a living organism, the lungs take priority. And that's like plugging into the wall with this plug. Where I can even take what the tape recorder, I got to plug in. And that's exactly what the biological lock is. You lock into the lungs. So from 3 a.m. to 5 a.m. is the most important part of the day as far as your physical health as a human being is concerned. Now in the ancient times, the early masters of truth or yogis or unified conscious minded people that we call them today, or self-realized people or enlightened people, realize that the lungs drew in more oxygen and that the brain was more active between 3 to 5 a.m. and more data could be stored in the brain than any other time of the day. So it was called God time. Now, the Eastern people would get up before the sun come up and go sit down and practice what is called meditation or erasing the verbs and adjectives, pronouns from the brain from the previous day. And that's what meditation is supposed to be doing. It's supposed to phase down the effect of the words you speak in the previous day in your brain, in your mouth. So it helps you to have a clearer perspective to communicate. So we never realized that centuries ago, that is what these men were doing. It's today when we have equipment to vouch for all of it and looking at the language they were using to describe it, we begin to see for the first time structurally what type of science they were doing. That's why it's called a science of realization, a science of self-help. How to be responsible to regulate your health and get the maximum use of your organism. A car, if you treat it right, can win the Grand Prix. If you treat it bad, it can end up in the back of life. And that's exactly what we say to ourselves as far as the mechanism is concerned. How you treat it can have the best use of it. So in the morning from 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock, the brain is most active. And they refer to that as dark time. Now, Jesus came along and he said, when they asked him if he should pay income tax or tribute, that they were tribute to Caesar. And he asked for the coin, and he opened the coin, he says, whose inscription is this? They said, Caesar's. Then he said, why not render to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and render unto God what belongs to God? Well, we know what belongs to Caesar. The money that is released by the government to circulate, and the income tax in the form of rental for the use of it to guarantee circulation. What is it that we owe God? We don't own food. We don't own a house. We don't owe him miracles. We only owe him what? Income breath. Not outgoing breath. Because we have no breath to give out in the first place. You see, we have to take it in first because it's pushed into us. So we owe, as an organism, to the environment only one thing. The breath that comes in to the back of us. That's what we owe. So income is something that comes into you in terms of working for it. You got an income, and if you use money as circulation, then that is given back as tax. But if you use respiration to function, the person who is making the respiration possible for you, you owe him a tax to him, right? If you owe him a tax, then you must have set it up in the organism a certain length of time that you owe him. And if you have 4 hours, you have 2 hours every day that lasts. That's what Paul meant when he said, I rebuke you into rejoicing, for I live and die daily in God. Around 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock in the morning, Paul, the great mystic, the big one, watching his breath, learning the art of phasing down the breath, learning the art of detoxifying the body by breathing. In other words, what if your next organ is ready to do its job? That's what. Large intestine, right? All the junk that is being dumped out by breathing and all the other poisonous products that come from the liver and the lungs that dump it out, they're all going to be dumped down there to the large intestine being built up. So, from 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock in the morning, the first thing the human being, if you want to be healthy, should be getting up to do what? Getting up to go to the bathroom, to dump it out. Have his first bowel movement. If he doesn't get a bowel movement, or doesn't get up to have a bowel movement, within that period, he is suffering from constipation. And the worst kind of constipation is diarrhea, because the liquids are running out of the dead mass of that kind of. So we're more concerned when a person has a diarrhea condition than a constipation condition. But we don't like to have constipation either. So we would like you to regulate your calories before putting food in. So between 5 and 7 a.m. in the morning, you should have your bowel movement. Now, from 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock, the stomach comes into function. That's why you should have something to eat. You should not starve your body, you should not deny your body of any solid matter, because that's the exact time that organ is going to function, and you have to sip what is known as the hydrochloric tolerance to break down food. And the hardest food to break down is protein. Hydrochloric acid in the stomach is designed to break down protein first, then carbohydrates, then mineral vitamins, then oil and water. In that order, absorption and breakdown. But the protein must be broken down. Now, if you get a protein in the morning, the hydrochloric acid has to set. So we want the kind of protein. You know, meat protein is not an ideal protein, simply because hydrochloric acid will break down its own stomach, the container that contains the hydrochloric acid. So it's not an ideal protein. That's number one. What the hydrochloric acid is doing, it doesn't really break down the food as you believe. When a food is not non-meat and contains fiber like grains or nuts, these are the fibers of the food, and this is the mineral. Triangle, square, circle, representing different minerals in a food like almonds that grow on a tree. One of the highest protein food that you can find, containing all 12 basic minerals that the body requires to stay normal. The hydrochloric acid breaks it down by separating the fibers. See why it's making the fibers? It's stretching them out so that the minerals can start coming out of the fibers and be absorbed into the body. Leaving the fibrous end now to do what? Scour the colon, and therefore you have ideal bowel movements. Now, if it was meat, the hydrochloric acid will not do the same thing to the protein like it did for an album. It will start compressing. Tightening it up, like forcing it more and more, causing it to squeeze out the minerals and vitamins, but at the same time squeeze out the uric acid. And then the substance that remains will be a little bald, but that has a danger. If you don't think about it, it can be the breeding ground for worms or parasites. And that's what tissues do. That's why you get tapeworm and all kinds of worms in your colon from being there too long. They're constipated and don't have the ability to clean out the colon to see it passing out. And then you say, how did that happen? It's because tissues cannot be separated out like fiber. Tissues are compressed by heat and squeezed by compression to take the minerals up. So there's a recomposition, a rotting process going on. But at the same time, there is a condition of building up bacterial conditions. Now this protein has nitrogen. This one does not have nitrogen. Yet when you finish eating, the residue is going to be there as protein when you're ready to pass it out. And the cells, if they're constantly have to put in protein minus the nitrogen, we don't have a problem. All the doctors today now are admitting that every cancer patient that they've examined, the biggest condition of their blood measurement is a high protein content with minus nitrogen. So the macrobiotic dietary system came along with providing grains, seeds, nuts to help flush it and go back to nitrogen. But again, they did not take into consideration time. The fiber is good. It does have the protein with the nitrogen. It does have the fiber for scouring. Again, that placed in the wrong time cycle of its growth, it ferments and forms alcohol gas. And that's the problem with leaving something out of the wrong time cycle. It will create gas and it will irritate the mechanism because of the alcohol content that goes up. So when you eat it at the right time cycle, it scours it out immediately and goes up. That's the one advantage of being on the right time. The body now is normal. So in the morning, we should eat from the trees. And the best food for protein, according to Mr. Casey, who introduced the Gordon as a great diagnostician, almonds. There's an old Persian word, and this is spelled like this at one time, A-L-M-O-N-D. All means all, and one means word, the whole word. What is true about the almond is that it contains all 12 basic minerals. All 12 of them that makes up the human body. There is no food in the whole spectrum of foods as a protein base with nitrogen that supersedes almond. And the ancient mystics and early men of health label that nut almond. Now, the almond as a protein with nitrogen pre-soaked overnight and taken in the morning when you wake up to eat does three things. One, it sets the hydrochloric tolerance from breaking down a whole lot of protein. So, let's say the tolerance, if you eat almonds first in the morning, the hydrochloric acid is set at 100. That's it. Breakdown of the tolerance. The next in line protein is meat. So the nut would be first, primarily almond nut, the best. Then the meat would be next, that is in the range of 90. That's the tolerance, the hydrochloric tolerance. Then you will have fowl, which is 80, and then you have fish. Every other product is below that. Except the hydrochloric
tolerance.
Yes, you must not use dried fruits or nuts. If they take up too much liquid out of your stomach, out of your body, and therefore you bloat back up. It should be pre-soaked and germinated. And in germination, you set the protein content higher you set the nitrogen content higher, and you set the iron absorption higher. Now, iron is a very important mineral in your blood when you wake up. That's why people who wake up, I did. What did I tell you, you gotta get? No, go get some geritol. You got tired blood. But all the geritol in the world wouldn't help tired blood if you don't get vitamin C. Because iron cannot be absorbed in the bloodstream without vitamin C. It's the anti-toxic vitamin. And iron sparks the body to give it vitality, but if there's too much toxins in there, it'll corrode. So you have like iron, you put something against it. Same way with the other toxin is corroding. Therefore, you, instead of getting more alert, get high blood pressure down. Too much of the iron going in there, but no displacement of the waste products. So the blood pressures are going up. So they blame the iron. It's partly true, 100% true. The problem is that the body is toxic from that cleaning, and possibly you didn't have a bowel movement, the toxicity is there. Now put in some vitamin C, and immediately you have a flushing out, and you're absorbing the iron then. So almonds in the morning, with a kiwi fruit that got more vitamin C than an orange, and it's not citrus now for the first time, they make a good combination. Yet almonds and oranges will go together because that's the only fruit the almond will blend in. And that's the only nut that the orange will blend in. Almond. Now that's what it will. And yet at the same time, it will blend with the kiwi. But an orange is citrus. Citrus doesn't join with any other food. You can eat citrus, eat it by itself. As a vitamin C, as an antitoxin vitamin. But for blending and for stabilizing, it will work with almond. They just set it up and they go together, they grow trees. And they do that job of absorbing iron in the body, detoxifying the body, and setting the tolerance and absorption in the body. Now, if you can, but don't go add anything else to the almond if you eat an orange bit. If you eat an almond and an orange, eat that and let that go for a fruit salad before you eat something else. If you eat it with a kiwi or a pear tomato that grows on a tree, you see pear tomatoes grow on a tree? There's only kind of tomato that grows on a tree. There's a kind of tomato that's shaped like a pear, that grows on a tree, doesn't grow on a vine. That tomato is ideal with the almond. That tomato is ideal with the avocado in the morning for vitamin C. Protein with almond and avocado are high in protein, but the avocado protein doesn't have all 12 basic minerals. That's why it cannot replace almond. It's high in protein, but it doesn't have all 12 basic minerals. The almond is high in protein, but has all 12 basic minerals. And the vitamin C goes good with the almond. Either from the pear tomato on a tree, or the kiwi, or the citrus fruit, for quick absorption, quick energy, and planting, cleaning out the land. So, even if you didn't eat anything else for breakfast, and you had an orange and an almond, you got the best breakfast in the garden, they all look damn good.
What about juices? I mean, can you do the almond and orange juice?
Yes, so blend the two in together and drink it, then you have a very good drink. As long as it's the same, nothing else. But if you take almond and grind it up and drink it with orange juice or grapefruit juice, it's perfect. And that would be actually a quick booster in the morning. That's what we call supreme unleaded biological nutrition. High octane nutrition. No problem there. But meat should be in the middle of the day. If there is one light cycle, in the lunar time, you can take a little bit in the morning. But remember, do not set a tolerance of 100. You only set a tolerance of 90. Almond sets the tolerance of 400 all the time. So in the morning, your almonds, the protein, your prunes now, as carbohydrate, high potassium for good bowel movement. So if you're dry up and you're constipated, you're not getting out. Your prune has good fiber and has high potassium, and it emulsifies the dead waste and starts moving it up. So the best breakfast I have found over the years, and if you don't want to eat it every day, you can eat it every other day, is almonds, prunes, and peaches, or apricot. They make your ideal breakfast. They give you your minerals, your vitamins, your oil, and your liquids. And at the same time, if you use your citrus fruit around 10 o'clock, you can get your vitamin C. And that's basically for breakfast. Now when you come to your lunchtime, you have an option of flesh product or no flesh product for protein. Do not try to be a non-meat eater if you don't know your blood type. You'll be more sick than a person who is a meat eater, because you're confusing your organism and throwing it off the balance too fast. But if you know your blood type, then you can rationally follow a non-meat or a meat diet within the solar cycle. And the solar cycle is set up to compensate for both non-meat and meat eater. Type A, B, A, B, and O, plus or minus. These are the blood types. This is to tell you what type of automobile you're driving. You can't say Ford and Nissan and you're driving a Ford. So don't fool yourself, you're going to convert the Ford into a Nissan. Or you're going to convert the Chevrolet into a Dodge. Your blood type is you. Your blood type is the functioning of your health in terms of the food and in terms of the transportation of it. So you must know that if you want to stay healthy and benefit from your health. Type A, plus or minus, this is just the average factor of either too fast or too slow in the absorption time. Type A plus absorbs faster. Type A minus absorbs slower. So we call them high or low absorbers, or metabolizers. You know, really a fast metabolizer and a slow metabolizer. Either it's plus or minus one. They're metabolizing fast or slow. But that has nothing to do with your type of blood. You're a type A blood, but you may be type A fast metabolizer, or it may be type A slow metabolizer. This simply means that type A fast metabolizer can eat a piece of coke fat, burn it up quick, and you usually find him living up north and he wants to get down on top of a ski and go to the gym bar. Burn it up very fast. Type A minus is living somewhere in Miami, Florida. I got his brother in kind of a comic and swing. He don't like no pork. back in the morning, you just have a nice cup of coffee or some orange juice, and you lay off in the sunshine someplace else. So the slow metabolizer is tend to move to the warm climate. The fast metabolizers tend to move to the cold climate. But this is their type of drug. Now, A and AB, these two types, can be 100% non-meat eaten. They don't have to touch no meat to be healthy. The A and the AB type. But they can't be 100% meat eaten. The funniest thing about these people is most of them are born in homes where they eat a lot of meat. That's the strange thing. They're born in homes where their family loves eating a lot of meat. But B and the O can be 100% meat eaten. But they can't be 100% not meat eaten. And they're usually born in a home where they're trying to be non-meat eaters. And no matter how they try to be non-meat eaters 100%, they haven't been sick. I'm a type O, and I grew up, and I didn't want to eat meat. And for years and years and years of all practices and doing all kinds of studies, trying to touch protein at all because of life and all people, all kinds of different, various excuses about a bunch of facts, I ended up being sick. And what are the type of sicknesses that occur? Type A and AB, if they try to be 100% meat eater, they develop acidosis. If they try to eat meat all the time, they suffer from acidosis. And type B and O, if they try to be non-meat eater all the time, they end up in alkalinosis. So I suffered from that for many years, and the skin would break out and all kinds of problems, and I realized it was too alkaline. I had to put in something that was acid to stabilize it. They put a little medicine. So people who are non-meat eaters they need something alkaline in their body. And people who are meat eaters they need something acid in their body. Now I can be 100% meat eater. But if I try to be 100% not meat eater, I become alkaline. For that reason, I stay as close as possible to not meat eating for 21 days. And around the full moon, I take something a little different to give me the acid balance in my body. That doesn't detract from my enlightenment. It doesn't detract from my spirituality. It gives me a better functioning body to cope with the conditions that come up in my spirituality or in my intellect. Instead of running from it and trying to hide from it, find excuses not to face it and be sick in the air and only to find out God and go back to Guru and learn. The Guru wants you to go back and learn because you got the key now. It's your particular lesson to learn. He may be a type A, for that matter. You might be a type B. You can't be like him. You understand? He comes into this world totally non-meat eater. Yeah, because he's a type A. Because you don't learn. He can't make you into a type A. He can only give you some indication and leave you to work it out. but to have that particular direction to stay as close as possible to not meet anything, but to be rational to stay within the chemistry of not to be destroyed by it. And so that is where we have to learn the balance. Otherwise, you break up.
Did you always know? I mean, I knew you when you used to be totally non-meat eater. And I remember you always had, you know, rash, always had like eczema on your skin.
Not the last time.
Yeah. Did you just finally decide to get practical? Well, it's because I knew you were teaching then too, and you know, and.
I had to choose between kidding myself that the non-meat eater was the overall aspect of everybody and not respecting the blood types as actually evolutionary conditions. Because until I had the experience of what these actual blood types represent, you're looking at the Garden of Eden in your blood type. Adam is a type A. Eve is a type B. They had a child inside of the garden, which is called Cain. And that's AB. Now, but they were thrown out of the garden because they said they violated some law. Most of us in our agricultural thinking would not understand what it is until we go into the scientific. See what they're saying. There was no, violation. It was confrontation necessary for evolution. Then they have another child outside of the garden, and it's called Abel. Now, the real argument came about, a split in the garden, is that Cain, who was supposed to be born inside of the garden, took some vegetables to offer to God, and Abel, who was supposed to be born outside of the garden, took a lamb and offered it to God. It was meat. Vegetable versus meat. And then they say the light of God came down and settled on Abel's offering over Cain's offering as a preference over meat over vegetable.
Yeah, that's true.
And so, therefore, Cain slew his brother in order to get evil. He said, brother, what the hell am I doing here if he's a meat eater and I'm a vegetarian? You know, then I do something drastic. I get some recognition. So this is the blood reaction of the types of our system. And it's our own evolutionary nature. It had nothing to do with killing you, but that's how it's set up to work like that in our bodies of the 144 elements. That we come under one of these four classifications in a plus-minus relationship. Now, in working our way back to the number five rule, which is to live to eat, in order to eat not to live. In order to live not to eat. Right. Good. This is the rule that this particular thing was set up for. That each one of us arrived there through our own particular blood type whenever we recognize it and do like Mr. Sinatra once said, I did it my way. And not by imitating somebody's way and thinking you're going to get there, but because of your own blood type.